Following content is provided by MIT OpenCourseWare under a Creative Commons license. Additional information about our license and MIT OpenCourseWare in general is available at ocw.mit.edu.
Okay. Can you all hear me? Okay, great. So my name is Nupur Garg, and I'm going to talk to you about Mantra, which is a project that my brother and I have been working on for quite some time now, I think almost a year now, or over a year now, and it's basically a telemedicine program for rural villages. So in rural parts of India, two-thirds of India's rural population does not have access to any healthcare, and almost all the healthcare provided to the rest of the population is almost inadequate. And so basically we have over 500 million people that don't have access to adequate healthcare. And the problems associated with this are clearly delineated by Mr. Kulkarni, who is our community partner in the community we're working with in India. And he says, when you will come over here, you will realize the transportation and communication problems in providing healthcare. And so what Mantra strives to do is to use the internet kiosks that are popping up all over rural parts of India to connect the villagers with healthcare. And the way we do this is, with the help of the internet kiosk operator, in these basic steps. So basically, a patient will come into the kiosk. The kiosk operator will then help the patient put in their symptoms. Then the information gets sent to the doctor, who then replies, and the information gets sent back to the patient. And you see a happy patient in the bottom right corner. So basically, we've been working on this for a while, as you can see. And it first started with my brother and I applying for the IAP fellowships at the Public Service Center. And that was a very beneficial experience for us. We basically established our partnership with somebody in the community through that. We were able to clearly define our idea through that experience and write our first proposal. But we didn't win anything, but we kept going, and we applied for the 2005 Ideas Grant, which we were successful in, by which time we had a prototype, and then the winner's retreat associated with that, and then the money that we spent going to India, those are both very beneficial experiences, and I'll talk about those a little bit more later. So for this term, I had four main objectives to continue working on our project after the summer. So one was to focus on the program improvements. Second was to do an assessment of the program with a financial focus. That's something that we hadn't done before, And third one was to hire a program manager, which is something that came out of the summer, our summer experience, and I'll talk about that. And lastly, we wanted to come up with some written material for this program. So far, it's just a program, and so some written material associated with that would be helpful. So first, I'll talk about the program improvements that we did. So throughout the course of this term, I've been meeting with several people to try to do some revisions of the program. From this summer, we made some improvements, including having a Devanagari script installed into the program. But some other things include having a scroll by date for the doctor's interface, having disclaimers on the patient user interfaces. So these came from meetings that I had with several people when I was trying to improve my proposal. And the second one came from several places, one of which was we found out that some other groups were doing something similar. And I went to their websites and looked at some of the things they had. And one of them had this very extensive, like pages and pages long disclaimers on their program. So I thought we should do something like that. It seemed kind of important. And then also automated email to doctor. So when a patient comes in and enters their symptoms, an email gets sent to the doctor. Let's say the doctor's not logged on. They can still get an email that says you've received some message. And then lastly, or not lastly, there's many more, but here, these are just some general ones. And then controlled searches by date and disease and locations. And this would help if we were going to do anything with the data because this is all a huge, it will end up being a huge database in the end. We're using it to connect patients to doctors, but from the data, we might be able to gather some information about maybe location of water pollution or things like that. So those are some things that came out of this term in meeting with people. But the most important thing that I wanted to improve about the program was the look. So the website, this is the main interface for when a patient logs in. And so you could see that they have all the, this is basically what they'll need to, all the buttons that they'll need to use when they log in. It's a pretty simple program, but it doesn't look like something like a professional kind of made. And a professional didn't really make it, but it wouldn't be nice to look like that. This is actually the work of my brother. He wrote all parts of this program so far, and he goes to school. He's an undergraduate at Washington University in St. Louis. Sorry, I forgot to say that. So basically, I wanted to get some help with designing the program. This is a triage information page. You can see some Dave Nagri script. It's been very modified since we first started. And this is some messages, the message that so a doctor can send, like the first message, and the kiosk operator can send messages, and patient can even reply. So the program improvements that we tried to focus on were coming up with additional kind of perks to the program, and including like the disclaimers and like the searches and the website. To do that, to improve the website, we had to come up with some funding, really, to pay somebody to help us with the website. So I'll go through the financial assessment that we did to see so that I can show you how we went about that. So here's our budget. As you can see, we have a lot. This is actually just for the first 6 months or so. And actually, like to launch the program right away, all we really need is these four things right here. The rest of the stuff we would like to include, for example, like the automated vital machines. We'd like to see how we could use those, how those work in the rural setting. But to launch the program right away, what we really need is like a project manager in that area, a graphic designer for the website, as you saw, computer programmer, and communication fees between, we need to have funding for the communication fees between us and the community. And so I guess I already told you that my brother is a computer programmer, so we don't really need that. And the graphic designer, we were able to come up with through the help of the ideas, through the help of the ideas committee and Allison. A lot of people responded to an email that we sent that said that we needed help with that. And then also some of our new collaborations, we found some help through that. And so we're looking forward to not spending money on graphic design. So basically all we need is around $1,500 left. The cost of we need to be able to fund a project manager. And then of course communication fees. So in order to get some of that money, we entered the 1K competition, and we didn't win. However, I learned a lot from this competition. Our goal to enter the competition was to get money, basically, and to test the business model for our project. Our project is a nonprofit project, obviously, but I heard that the business model is very beneficial in many ways, including that it's more efficient. And things like that. And so that's through talking to people. In order to do that, we improved our proposal. I met with Sally, who's a proposal writing genius of the Public Service Center. She gave me a lot of good tips. And this is something that we really needed to do, because actually our proposal was weak from day one, from the fellowships that we applied for, and even the ideas. We had judges that came to us afterwards that told us that our presentation was much better than our proposal, and they were kind of unclear about our proposal. So just from the application process to the 1K, we came up with a much better proposal. It was much stronger than what we had had, and that was a very good learning experience for us. Some of the feedback that we got from the judges from the 1K, included that I had to be able to present the idea in a financially sound capacity. So, like, the project is sustainable to us, but to be able to convey that to others, I guess we found challenging, but that's something that we need to be able to do. And then they also said that we haven't thought about expanding the team for scaling. So that was something that we hadn't mentioned, but specifically towards operations. If we are going to expand this program or to scale this program across India, we need an operations team to be able to do that. So expanding our team, our core team, to be able to do that. And that's something that we've thought about a lot. And so status of technology is another thing. I guess the 1K competition focused on a lot on patents and technologies and kind of things like that. But it was basically like unclear to the judges what the status is of our technology. And so just to clarify that would be beneficial all around. And legal liabilities, I already talked about with the disclaimers and things like that. And then one of the judges thought that our costs were grossly underestimated. So we revisited our finances, and we continuously revisit our finances to look that over. Okay. So the financial assessment, we learned a lot about the goals ahead, what kind of things we need to do to just launch and then to sustain and then to scale. And what funding we need for that. So that was very beneficial for us. So next I'll talk about the program manager. So the program manager is something that that came out of our summer experience. Basically over the summer we went there to deploy the program and to test it out and to make further improvements and to optimize it for the community. But what ended up happening was we were able to introduce the program to the community, but our community partners strongly advised us to not launch it. For the simple reason that if we did and we left after we launched it, there would be nobody there to support it and to promote it and to troubleshoot and to be there, basically, to help sustain it after we launched it. And so we thought that was a good point. And so he told us to not launch it, and we didn't. We came back with the thought in mind to go and hire somebody, to raise money so we can hire somebody back over there who can be there and can be able to communicate with us regularly about the program. So basically we've come up with a job description and a contract over this term, and the contract says things like be able to communicate with us on a weekly basis, publicize for the program, troubleshoot, go through or I set up the program in kiosks and maintain them and things like that. So that's good. And here is kind of the scenario that we're looking at. I kind of wanted to show this picture because it's kind of at this meeting, this is actually from our meeting with the kiosk operators. There is one female kiosk operator present. And so I wanted to emphasize kind of the need of this program. Basically, it's much harder for females to leave the village than males, because males are usually going out and working, and they go to the city to work often, and then they come back. And so oftentimes, and I'm not saying it's easier for males to access healthcare when they go to the cities, because that might not be the case, but it is just by the probability of a female getting to the city to access healthcare, where all the hospitals are, it's much, much lower. And so with female kiosk operators like her, it would be, and with our program, it would definitely increase the chances of women being able to access healthcare from the villages without leaving home. So those are the kind of things that our program manager would do. Some of the things so the written material, we thought it was, like I said, it was important to come up with user manuals for the people that were going to be using this, all the patients, the doctors, and the kiosk operators. And basically, they include things like how to enter a new triage, how to reply to patients, how to log in, how to become a new, how to register to use the program. And then also, they include frequently asked questions, like what if I lost my password? And then also for the kiosk operator, there's lots of I guess there's lots of administrative kind of things, like what happens if this program isn't working right away, restart the computer, things like that. So came up with user manuals to do for that. So that was a project for this term. And how that's going to work is in the kiosks, or I mean in the communities, all the kiosk operators would gather like they are here, and somebody would go walk them through the program. They even have a projector screen set up in a lot of them. And the kiosk operators would just basically all be there on one day, and the program manager would walk them through the program, let them ask any questions. This is how they get introduced to all the new programs, basically. And then the program manager would go and set up the program in the different kiosks. So that's the plan for the program manager. And that's our... So the written material would be really beneficial in this instance. They would have something to take away with them. And then also, if this program were to spread, they could show this written material to whoever they think would be interested. And it's easier to have written material at that point, because computers, I mean, who knows what could happen if the electricity goes out or the connection is broken. But at least they'd have that written material. And if they have any changes to make to, like, say, the manuals or whatever, they can make it on the written material. I mean, all this information will be online as well, but they can make it on the written material, and the program manager can get those to us. So looking forward, recently we were introduced to a new collaboration with Tenzin from the Progenopia Foundation, who's focusing on a state in India called Bihar, which has many health-related problems. And from this, part of his healthcare proposal project is to use a version of our program that's more focused towards TB, while including all the general stuff that our program does. It also has some TB-focused questions, let's say. And so, I mean, this is just one direction our program is going to go in the very near future. And then also, in relation to that, we were able to acquire a couple of faculty advisors through Tenzin's help. And so what that'll do is, if anyone wants to help us with this program, we were able to offer them any credits or things like that. So that's very positive for us in the near future. I got this picture off your website. So I guess I just want to thank you all for coming, and I guess we all share the common interest of wanting to improve the general society that we live in. And thank you all for taking the time to come listen to me talk about some of my ideas. So this time. Yeah, it's that area is kind of blurry for the simple reason that it's different per kiosk. But I'll give you some examples of what it can be. In the kiosks where there's a business, actually, where users come in and actually pay to use the computer, which is in this village, as actually there's a few like that. There's like three out of the 30 kiosks that are set up that are booming businesses, basically. And so what the kiosk operator will do is, when the patient comes in to use the computer, set them up, let them do it, and if they need help, then the kiosk operator will be there. So in these cases, it's assuming that many of the people that already come in to use the computers are familiar with computers, but if they need help typing and things, then the kiosk operator will be there. And so that's basically their role. In other kiosks, where, like the majority of them, where people just have computers, basically, and they like to have these programs to be able to let their neighbors and their friends and the people that live around them to use. So those people, they would get this program, and like they would, just like they do with all the other programs that they have lots of programs for like microfinancing, agricultural, and all kinds of nutrition, and all kinds of programs like that already. So this would fall right in line with their service kind of mindset of the programs that they have, and then And then they would do the same thing, I guess. They would let the users come in and use it, and then they would facilitate. And it's basically the educational level gap that the kiosk operator is going to try to bridge. So, yes. So that's one of the scaling issues, I guess, that are associated with this program. To launch it, we already have doctors lined up to address these emails, and that's kind of key. If you're going to launch it, you need to have doctors, otherwise it's not going to work. And then also, I think in Tenzin's program, he also has doctors. So for launch purposes, we're pretty set. But for scaling, we're going to need to do a lot of publicity, and we're going to need to do a lot of, encourage doctors to pass on the word about this, publicize in different medical schools and different hospitals. Hospitals, they have a pretty good, they're all connected, not all of them, but most of them are connected through to the Indian government, because healthcare in India is government provided. So we can use some of those connections to be able to publicize about this program. And basically, they just need to sign up for it. It's pretty simple to just be able to get your set of patients. Yes.
You mentioned that, for example, when you showed with kiosk operators, that there was something on female. What's the culture in India surrounding medical privacy, and would that be an issue, for example, with women having male kiosk operators type of medical concerns? Mm-hmm.
There's actually a couple female kiosk operators in this area out of the 30, which is still not that much, but only one came to our presentation. I can definitely see a lot of problems where women will not be able to feel comfortable with a male kiosk operator typing in problems. I definitely anticipate situations like that where the women just basically won't use the kiosk operator for those problems, which is kind of no different than it is today in terms of, when women have problems, they don't have options. So with the small or few possibilities that we were creating of women kiosk operators, it doesn't solve the problem, but it certainly helps towards that direction. So, yes.
In these villages, is there anybody already who provides even a rudimentary medical practitioner role? And can they be drawn into playing a role as an intermediary or as somebody working with the kiosk?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's actually an interesting point, because there's a lot of rural places that have people that are already functioning as the kind of the healing role, whether you call them shamans or whatever you want to call them. A lot of them... they practice, either they practice fake or they practice what they believe is actually true, so based on faith. So whatever the case may be, a lot of the villagers already have faith in them. So it would be very good if we were able to place these people in a position that could kind of encourage them to use. I'm not sure how this would work, because we don't have that problem in the community that we're starting out in, but that would be our goal, to try to encourage the collaboration between the two. We don't want to alienate people and tell them that, that guy's all wrong, don't listen to him. But that's definitely a concern. I watched this video that was very educational about that. That's definitely something that's in our minds. So I guess we're kind of lucky with the situation we have right now, because they don't have something like that.
I guess then question is, from village to village, how much variability is there? Is the method that you're pursuing in the start village replicable in others?
So it is it's regional. In the Northeast, I believe, there's a lot of practice of of traditional, I guess, kind of healing practices. That's what the video I watched was focused on the Eastern states. In this region, there's not so much so. They basically, I don't want to say they haven't adopted the westernized system, but they definitely haven't turned their backs on it, kind of. So it's not so much of a cultural clash in the area, in the West, that we're dealing with.